You're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com, bringing you the freshest radio in Brooklyn since 2009. Hear directly from chefs to farmers, artists to architects, authors to brewers, and everyone in between. Check out all of our shows on our website or by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super-duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
Boys, I'm mellow as a honeydew. Yeah.
That cat is high. Look that look in his eye. Oh, man, he's high. Yes, higher than a kite. That cat is high.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm your host, Damon Bolte. In the studio today, there's a gang of dudes gathered around the microphones and large trays full of glassware, which we'll get to soon enough. Today we have a crazy cast and crew from the Bushwick Country Club in Brooklyn, New York. We've got John Roberts, Reggie Cunningham. We've got, along with them, some of the alumni of the Bushwick Country Club. We have Frank Cisneros back on the show. Also, Nick Jarrett back on the show. Tom Chadwick, first time, yeah?
First time.
Nice. Welcome. Welcome, everyone, to the show.
Don't forget Ryan Dale.
Oh, yeah, Ryan Dale. Hey, man. He's in there, too. Awesome. This is so rad, because when we walked in, I didn't realize how many people were going to be in the studio. This is definitely, by far, the most people that have been in the studio on the Speakeasy so far, and we've got just a great crew here today. So why don't we just jump right into it, man? Bushwick Country Club, the origin. Let's go, man. Talk about it.
Okay. The idea was to always have miniature golf in the backyard.
First off, we didn't want to open a bar. We wanted a place with miniature golf in the backyard.
I was playing miniature golf many years ago down at the Jersey Shore, before the Jersey Shore was the Jersey Shore. And I was lining up a putt, and it was hot out, thinking to myself, wow, I could really go for a beer right about now. Not to take the swing, stop, putter up in the air, and say, guys, I have the best idea in the world, which was 18 holes of miniature golf, and every third hole, you could just get another beer. Well, in Brooklyn, I didn't have the space to do 18 holes, so I did 6 holes. You play it 3 times, that's 18 holes. And every time you do 6, you go do a shot, come back. By the third time, it's a whole new course. You'll never know what it is.
Yeah. Excellent. Now, okay, how long has the Bushwick Country Club been around?
June 19th. It's been over 6 years.
Awesome. Since that time, you've the thing I love the most about the Bushwick Country Club is, or the thing that helps me remember that I was there, was the photo booth, and I have to say that there are no good pictures of me that have ever come from that photo booth, but they're always pleasurable to look at in hindsight.
Well, that photo booth is haunted, you know.
It's haunted? The photo booth's haunted.
Well, the whole place is haunted.
Yeah, the whole bar's haunted.
Actually, it is haunted, but that's...
No, let's talk about that. Shit, man.
Okay. Well, I was a big skeptic of, you know, like, I didn't believe in ghosts or anything like that. And before we opened, I'd be downstairs bagging up, you know, garbage. 3:30 in the morning, I glance up. And you know the movie Fight Club? You know, in the beginning where they kind of splice in a split second?
Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing.
The cigarette burn thing?
Yeah, kind of like, what did I? Yeah. So I would see a portly guy, brown wool slacks, white beater, thin suspenders, balding, and in my mind I'm going, okay, I'm tired, I'm hallucinating. My mind is saying, John, go home, you've worked enough.
The chemicals down there too.
Oh, that could be also that too.
Fluids.
Let's not talk about anything that's going to get the health department.
Radioactive waste is not a department of health, I think,
and it's not something that is at Bushwick Country.
No, not at all. Illegal pandas, yes. I mean, no. So I would always see, like, here and there, that hallucination, and then a girlfriend at the time had the touch or the shinning, And can't say shining. She came in and she said, oh, you know, you have spirits here. I'm like, oh, really? And there's a great debunker, the great Kreskin, told a story of like how to debunk psychics, because they pick up little cues off your body, like a head nod or whatever. So he said, you fold your arms, you don't make any movement, and just say, what else do you see? Go on, go on. So she said, oh, I see gray slacks, wife beater, thin suspenders, balding. He's got a goatee. I think he's Italian. I think his name is Sal. With the exception of the color, everything else she nailed my hallucination.
Wow.
So that made me go, there's got to be something to this. So, yeah. And also, oh, tell Frank about the time it was messing with you.
I think there was a couple of times to corroborate that story. I saw exactly the same thing, independently went up and told John, and I'd seen almost exactly the same thing that he had seen. But one of the things that they did was we had a bunch of stuff in the hallway leading down into the basement, stuff that was like behind other stuff. For instance, we had a couple of some sort of rods or some. Oh, we had a bunch of trays that were lined up behind a bus tub, just a plastic bus tub. Somehow the trays miraculously like flew over the bus tub and into the stairwell. Like logically, if it was to fall over by itself, the bus tub would fall too, because the bus tub weighs less than the metal trays. But somehow they did that. And it was just every time I'd go down there was something, until one day it kind of just stopped. And I think the way that John described it was like, once the ghosts get once they get used to you, they don't really bother you anymore.
All right. So, we're talking about Bushwick Country Club. That's awesome. I like that. That definitely adds a lot of like character to an establishment.
So, speaking of ghosts, Ryan, you want to talk to us a little bit about the initial cocktail list over there?
yeah, Windex, RIP.
Scoot in, bud.
Scoot in, Ryan.
I don't know what to say. I guess my
there
first
was a Windex.
Yeah,
there was a
Windex.
Was it the creamsicle?
Creamsicle.
Yeah,
that was the orange and vanilla vodka one.
Yeah, and there were no specs. It was just like you picked up three different colored bottles and did like three pour.
As long as it was the right color, you were.
Yeah. Key lime pie. Yeah. They were all like versions
the biggest
of,
seller by
of
far.
A martini. Yeah, the key lime pie was the solid one.
It was actually just a color wheel to like right color.
So, okay, so you started out, you did start out with a cocktail list.
Yeah.
Okay. But.
more like a Bennigan's or PJ McFunster's kind of cocktail list.
Yeah. Totally.
People would like pick it up, look at it, shake their head, put it back down, order a beer and shot.
Yeah. But so, then there'd be a guy who'd sit there and drink like six Windexes.
That was Nick Jarrett, by the way.
True.
So now, having that kind of cocktail list, you know, obviously it's just about like having fun and being like, fuck the world, like let's just like have a good time, and like it's fun and playful, and yeah. We're here to like drink and have fun with each other and like, you know, have a good time. So how did that cocktail list end up evolving over the past like 6 years?
Well, the dollar store menu frames eventually broke. And then,
and by broke, I think maybe somebody smashed them. smashed them and made them disappear.
Not making another Windex ever.
Now, okay, so this eventually led into, this. Okay, we talk about it a lot on this show. Like, we always have bartenders come on the show and talk about like how they got their start. A lot of us started in like kind of like dive bars and working in restaurants, and like, you know, Thomas Waugh started out as a barista. Brad Farron started out in the kitchen. You know, like after you get out of work, like after a long shift, doesn't matter if like you're a kitchen guy, you're a bartender, even just a patron at one of those places. Like Bushwick Country Club seems to be like one of those places that has this magnetic energy to bring you there, and you end up spending like the last part of your night there, and and not necessarily remembering, which is why it's brilliant that you have a photo booth there.
That's exactly why.
So, that being said, you've had some really amazing bartenders come through,
yeah.
And some like I said before, you know, we've got three of them in that have been, you know, people that I've talked about quite a bit on the show work there. And you started out with, is there a dog barking? Do you hear that?
Yeah.
I think you're just really hungover.
It's the ghost of the studio. It's the ghost dog. And I'm hungover. So that being said, it's like we always talk about how, like, we just want to, like, when we get off work, we just want to drink a beer and a shot and just, like, chill out and have fun, you know, kind of wind down. But you guys are doing that, like, all the time. So
I do that to wind up.
Yeah.
I have to start work off now with a shot wherever I'm working. That's basically.
How many shots of Jaeger was it in one shift?
Oh, jeez. I don't, John, you've all seen the tape. I haven't seen the tape. There was a notorious tape. It was probably the one of the last nights I worked.
Yeah, on the security cameras. One of, that may have been your last night.
That was actually your last night.
Yeah. You can see Reggie, and it's like a stop action thing because it's a security camera. You just see like a growing and then shrinking amount of like a score of shot glasses.
And you just keep them there like trophies.
And it was Jaeger the entire time.
Jesus Christ.
I used to buy, like, cases at the time.
The
Magnum. Like, wow, the
1.75. The Jaeger Magnums.
You don't sell.
The
1.75 liter ones.
Oh, jeez.
And we would go through so much. I'm like, wow, people really like this. And then when Reggie stopped working at BCC, we have so much of it now.
I think that night you polished off over half of a 1.75.
Oh, yeah, that's easy.
Yeah.
No pickleback necessary.
I am totally disgusted right now. I'm going back to being hungover. Start talking about Jaeger, and I want to leave. Frank hosts the rest of the show. I got it.
Jaeger was the juice that apparently inspired the pickleback.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, do you want to talk about that?
We're definitely going to talk about that. Okay. So, first of all, you have McClure's Pickles.
Yeah.
When he started out, he was when that company started, the pickles were being stored in the basement of Bushwood Country Club.
Well, he used to live two doors down, and he asked if he could store some product in the basement, and I had space. I'm like, sure. And the trade-off was he gave me a case of pickles to, you know, he said, fool around with, you know, like make a pickle martini or, you know, Bloody Mary or something. And because Reggie, on a Sunday, yeah, it's your fault.
Yeah.
It is all your fault. Was eating pickles. Yeah. You want to tell the story?
Well, I guess so. One Sunday night.
Millions of times.
What was that bitch name?
I don't.
Fat bitch, something like that.
I don't know. Go ahead. All right. But no, one Sunday night, I think, I was a little sick. And I was like, oh, I'm not going to drink tonight, you know. And you often say that when you go into work, and it never really works.
Never happens.
And so, you know, this girl came up to me and saw me eating the pickles, and she's, you know, like, she just had this raspy southern voice. She's like, oh, give me some of that pickle juice in my whiskey. And I was like, no, I don't think so, babes. That sounds disgusting. And she's like, no, I gotta have it. And she's like, and you're gonna do one with me. And I was like, okay, let's, no, I'm really not drinking tonight. And then she kind of, you know, kept pressing on me. So I was like, all right, I'll give this shit a try. I did the shot of whiskey, Old Crow, threw back the McClure's pickle juice, and it was a life-changing experience. I went on to drink about 10 to 12 more that night, and then John came in later that night, and I showed him. I was like, this is amazing. And so, like, the next day, it's on the board, the pickleback shot. There were some other incarnations of the name originally.
Oh, yeah.
The pickle puffer?
Oh, yeah. Marchese was like, you should call the pickle puffer, and I responded with a resounding, you know.
We live in a different world right now if the pickle puffer had
stuck. Could you imagine around the world? The pickle puffer.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm not associated with that name.
It would have never gone around the world.
Come on down and chug on a couple pickle puffers.
Possibly it would have reached around the world, so to speak.
Oh. On that note, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the pickleback and its effect across the world. It's crazy, crazy effect. All right, we'll be right back on the
basketball team. I'm rapping to keep a little money in my pocket, some beer in my belly, and some girls in my bed. No. I have a song for you guys tonight.
Yeah, your bra's still full of utter butter. Watch me suck down a decaf and start to stutter. Trash if it was full of a natural light. Well, if them man's a mind, they'd be full of hot ice. Come on, play nice, red, tap that ass twice. But when I flush your chest, a free reaper will suffice. I guess I like my girlfriend just the way she is. But if she had a full bar to rack with me and fizz, then I'd be feeling bad about paying for dates. If I could just think from the tip, I'm sure it equates. Then I wouldn't have to worry about going home and screwing up with some girl. A woman's worked foam, I'd have a new keg stand on the man when a girl with a souped up Mary Glass. Who wants a titty full of beer?
I do.
Get rid of the milk and add the brew.
True.
Who wants a titty full of beer?
I do.
Suck your jugs, see your nipples turn blue. Who wants a titty full of beer?
I do. Shamelessly self-promoted at the bar.
All right, we're back on the Speakeasy with the crew from Bushwick Country Club.
Can we get a shameless plug for the Mr. Move?
Yeah, that was amazing.
The Mr. Move. Beer. You can go to themrmove.com, themrmove .com, and download a free mixtape. It's got titty full of beer on it.
Sweet. It's titty full of beer.
Who wants a titty full of beer?
Take out the milk and add the brew.
True.
So we were talking about the right before the break, we were talking about the Pickleback, and it's, man, that it's crazy. Like,
totally insane.
It's insane the way that spreads so quickly.
I had people in New Orleans at dive bars asking me if I'd ever tried a Pickleback before.
And you're like, bitch, please.
I've had people in Amsterdam ask me that question.
But they get it wrong. They use good whiskey. The whole point of the pickle brine back is that you're masking the nastiness of something like a well whiskey.
Well, yeah, you're supposed to use really horrid or value-priced bourbon.
There you go.
But really good pickle brine. I've had some. It's like the
don't name any names because I might ask them to be sponsors later.
I love all your sponsors. But no, like I went to one place and it was just horrendous. And
we can definitely say Philadelphia whiskey because that's disgusting.
And Philadelphia whiskey may be the worst whiskey.
No, that's the whiskey of brotherly love.
Right. So it's a gay whiskey.
It'll throw a brick at you.
So okay, you know I've. Like, man, you were talking about how, Reggie, you were talking about how it was like this Southern girl that came in and, like, she was like,
swamp trash. That was the term.
She was from Jacksonville, Florida. She's probably a Florida Gators fan.
You know what's funny? I'm from the South. I'm from Oklahoma, so you can kind of call it South, I guess, whatever. But, I remember going to, like, my Little League games, and in the concession stand, they would basically, they would sell pickles, but they would also take the pickle juice. And they would freeze it into like pickle
popsicles.
And it was awesome. We loved it. And so, there. Do you have one of those frozen like daiquiri machines?
Don't tell Rory about this at Dram.
Well, well, I do actually have slushy machines. I have Jim Beam and Coke slushy,
nice.
And then a homemade sweet tea vodka. We brew our own tea. Put in Zamkoff, which is the last name in vodka.
The last name in vodka.
And some sweetener, and it tastes like sweet tea.
Like wildfire.
It's really good.
So, okay, going back to the Pickleback, though, I mean, did you ever expect this kind of like impact?
Really had no idea. We were just talking about earlier how we really blew it by not patenting the whole thing, because now it's been like co-opted by large liquor brands.
And also,
people have claimed, you know, to be, you know, the original version of the Pickleback. You know, like my friend just told me they were in Ohio and saw a poster on the wall. It was like, try the insert, yeah, the original way to do
the
it.
The famous original
major brand of whiskey that you shouldn't even want to chase with pickle juice. You should be able to just drink it by itself.
All the other major contenders in town where it started first, like when forced to, they all admitted that originally, like Whiskey Tavern, and then the Rusty Knot. But they all first had it over at Bushwick Country Club.
Yeah,
and I mean, I guess Toby Ciccini, who's like a cocktail legend in some people's minds.
He's one of my favorites.
I used to work for him over at his bar, Passerby, and you know that bar had shut down, and I had introduced him to the Pickleback over at the Country Club one night after a company party, and he ended up, you know, he's writing for the New York Times, and he started asking around, and it kind of got back to me and John over at the Country Club. So he did a little New York Times article that kind of helped promote it too.
I remember that. I was in Austin, Texas for South by Southwest when that article came out. and they were already doing them
sure.
by the time the article came out. And it came out that week. And I remember reading it and being at a place called Frank. Really awesome dude, owns this place and owns a few other places. It's like a hot dog joint, but it's huge, and they have a great bar, great coffee program. They're just kind of like doing like a little bit of everything. But I remember like sitting there at one point with Adam Harris from Maker's Mark, because they do like a bacon infused Maker's Mark for their Bloody Mary there. And I remember at one point I was just so excited to be there. I had a great coffee, I had a great beer from like 512, I had a Dublin Dr. Pepper, yeah. I had a Lone Star, a shot of bacon infused Maker's Mark, and then the pickle brine from their house, spicy pickles. And I was like,
I feel like a bathroom story is coming out of this. Put all of this in your body.
I was just so excited to have so many. Like, I had so many glasses in
delicious
front of me,
dirty libations in front of me.
It was amazing. And I was just trying to figure out which one to drink first. You know, but yeah, it was crazy. But and then everywhere we went, I mean, fuck, I think Bill Murray got behind the bar at one of the bars, yeah. And with RZA and GZA sitting over on the side, like eating like roasted peanuts. They weren't even drinking; they were just watching Bill Murray like pour shots of like tequila for everyone.
Although, for the record, I believe every order he got was just answered with a shot of tequila.
It was absolutely. I have pictures.
Yeah, I can make it. They'll look a lot like tequila, though.
But the tequila pickleback is also very good. Leading up,
yeah,
to that.
We all just want to drink.
So, well, yeah, we've talked enough about this.
Let's drink.
Let's have a pickleback, man.
To health, wealth, and happiness.
And BCC Uber Alice.
BCC Uber Alice.
Wow! Cheers. Man, don't get it on the equipment.
It's like old times.
I like it better when the pickle juice is warm.
Mm.
Yeah,
as opposed to refrigerated.
Yeah, me too. Cheers, Ryan.
My God, that's delicious.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks, Reggie.
Oh,
man, thanks, Reggie.
Do you know that many bartenders everywhere hate you?
You're the reason we all come home smelling like pickle juice. At the
It became like we got a little. At one point, there was the excitement of it, and then there was like the backlash, the resentment of actually having to get pickle juice all over your hands all night.
As a funny aside,
it's worth it for the money.
As a funny aside, there's a somewhat celebrated bar review guide that comes out of the UK called Difford's Guide in Difford's Glass Magazine. And Simon Difford was drinking in Dram when they were doing their Brooklyn issue a couple of months back, and got into a conversation with me about what bars he should definitely check out. So I named all of the cocktail bars in town, and I threw in the Bushwick Country Club. And he's like, oh, isn't that the place where the pickleback was invented?
Yeah!
And then he's like, yeah, no, we'll probably skip that one.
What about this guy, this alum right here that's went on to do bigger and better things?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
I just remember the pickleback, what annoyed me most was they all came out of these like 3-quart jars of McCoy's pickles, and they had like the floating like jalapenos or whatever in there, and we would have to pour the shots from there, and no one thought of just like straining it out and putting it in like a regular bottle as a speed pour.
Or something. Yeah.
And it took a couple years to
make that.
Oh my God, that's genius!
It only took 2 years to figure that one out.
You know, we're knuckle draggers.
That's true. And now you have Tom Chadwick, owner and operator of Dram, one of the most celebrated new cocktail bars in New York and worldwide, mm-hmm. who used to be the Monday Tuesday happy hour bartender at BCC.
Isn't it funny how that happens?
Yeah.
You guys, okay, let's talk really quick because we only have about 5 minutes left on the show. Let's talk a little bit more about, I kind of want another pickleback.
Pour them. Somebody
do that. Ooh, it's farted. So good. So you were doing, we haven't really talked about this yet, but you were doing cocktails at the Country Club, which was, I mean, I actually only went to...
Reggie just farted in the studio, by the way, in this tiny little space. Thanks, Reggie.
It's hot in here, and you're farting, and we have pickle juice. It's not a good combination, buddy.
That's dangerous.
And that was pretty much the context I decided to do bespoke cocktails at BCC.
Yeah.
In this kind of environment.
Yeah. Like, hey, you know what? You know what would really class up the joint?
Yeah.
Co-
Well, I worked. Tom worked the happy hour shift, and I would come in after him, and you know he'd have a garden on the bar with all these the ingredients I'd never seen before. And some people would come back and like, give me that thing again with the egg yolk in it. And I'd be like, nah, man. I was like, you want a pickleback? You want a shot of Jaeger? I'll do a shot of Jaeger with you.
Tom, I will do a shot with you if you don't order that.
Tom, tell him about like what you would do though, like everything you would bring in and your whole process.
This was like 2005 up until just about when Dram opened in 2010, and I was just, you know, a cocktail nerd working in a dive bar, and John had a chest freezer downstairs where I could, you know, freeze block ice,
yeah.
And I just brought in my bitters and whatever John didn't have in the back bar I'd bring, and I just did a little weird geeky, you know, cocktail thing.
Little known fact, Frank Cisneros' first experience behind the bar was as Tom Shadwick's bar back.
He was stodging, actually.
On
was
Monday, Tuesday, happy hour show.
I mean, that's not entirely true. I ran a real balls-to-the-wall speakeasy in Portland. And
your first New York bartending experience.
My first New York bartending experience, and let's be honest, was Bushwick Country
it's
Club.
It's the only one that matters in this market.
It is the only one that matters. And it was really cool. Actually, full disclosure, I had failed my bar smarts exam.
True.
I failed my practical.
Damon, why did you hire this guy?
Yeah, right. I failed.
Were you on Long Island taking a
I
bar
failed
class
my practical either? Exam, and I met Tom, and Bushwick Country Club was across the street from my house. I met Tom, and I was like, look, I've got the book smarts to do this, but I don't have the muscle memory, really, to do like cocktails properly. Will you help me out? I'll work for you for free. And he was extremely gracious enough to do so. I remember, like, my very first shift. Oh, hold on. Shot time.
Oh, yeah.
Shot time.
More picklebacks.
Keep talking.
Yeah.
Jack, do you want a pickleback?
No. I've had enough picklebacks.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does. So
let's get Jack a pickleback.
Yeah. Ooh, I'm going to be pretty good today.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, my very first shift, I think Tom had me do nothing but stir for like a good couple of hours, which was kind of, it was a good exercise.
I was just fucking with you.
Yeah, no, he would fuck with me constantly. Like the best was when he would throw half frozen citrus at me from like across the bar. I'd have welts all over my legs to prove it. But yeah, that was my first real bartending experience in New York.
And to get everything totally full circle, I just recently gave up two shifts at very prestigious cocktail bars in New York to go pick up two shifts at Bushwick Country Club.
Which is a prestigious country club.
The very prestigious country club.
Class with a capital K.
And, John, I'm returning back. Stories about how people would call up and be like, listen, we'd like to know about, you know, having...
We'd like to rent out the place.
Rent the place
like,
out for an event.
Have you looked at the website? You know what you're talking
John,
about?
John gets invited to all these junkets because they think he's a real, like... Fancy country club.
What's your fake name, by the way, John?
Nathaniel Merriweather III. Anytime I get mail, any email, I'm like, yeah, delete.
That's amazing. Okay, so like to wrap up because we've got like 1 minute left on the show. But I know where you were going with this. You know, you got the Bushwick Country Club being like a platform, like a jumping board for so many great bartenders that end up just crushing it. We I mean, like the entire staff that was basically doing the cocktails at the Country Club, they've all been on the show now. I mean, Frank's been on. Nick's been on. Nick was actually my first hour-long show.
Hour-long show.
Ooh, I do want to do a quick shout-out to Heather Bernard and Thomas Allen Jones III.
Hell yeah.
They moved up to the Trilby.
Keeper Square Hotel.
Yeah.
Nice.
So,
two long-time staff members.
Shout myself out. I've moved up to Clem's. If you want to see me on Sundays and Tuesdays.
You're at Clem's?
And
we also keep Dram safe on Fridays and Saturdays.
And he did 86th.
And he ran 86th, our pop-up dive bar.
We turned the cocktail bar into a dive bar for 4 days when all the cocktail guys went down to New Orleans.
And we
set the bar on fire many times with our flaming Dr. Peppers. But, and we brought the pickleback back. Which
bring it back.
Always
got to bring it back.
Full circle. We reached all the way back around.
I really wish that we had more time on this show to talk more about this and really just generally hang out. But unfortunately, we're and do more pickleback.
I think we're out of overhaul.
But we're
that was delicious, by the way. Thanks, guys.
That was Jack Inslee, our producer. Thank you, and you're welcome. Guys, we'll have to have you back on sometime because this has been awesome having you on the show and just hanging out and doing picklebacks and generally bullshitting about we do happiness. Day in and day out.
Yeah. Please, we'd love to come back, and you know what they say, mirth is king.
Absolutely. All right. We will see you all next time on the Speakeasy.
Woo-hoo!
Cheers.
Whoa!
Cheers.
Yay!
Thank you.
Yes, higher than a kite. Baba Doody. That cat is high. Baba Booba. Look at that look in his eye. Man, I wouldn't lie. The cat's higher than a kite. Now when you see him stumbling up and down the street.
This is Behind the Scenes Food News with Katie Kiefer. There's a lot of posturing and talking around raw milk these days and how great it is. But if you really want to get a full-on investigation into the pros and cons, the risks and benefits of raw milk consumption, here's a nifty website, www.realrawmilkfacts.com. It has a laundry list of FAQs, along with information from studies and reports from American and European science communities. If you flirt with raw milk consumption, this is definitely worth taking a look at. This is Behind the Scenes Food News with Katie Kiefer.
New York Night Train, Summer Soul Shindig, Rockaway Beach Party, featuring the 45 RPM soul magic of DJ Jonathan Tobin. Saturday, August 20th, 6 to 9 at Ripper's, Boardwalk 86. Free party!
Every spring at the end of kidding season, goat dairies across the country are faced with the question of what to do with their male bucklings. Because on a dairy farm, there's no role for a male. Often the most economical thing for these farmers to do is to cull the animals at birth or ship them off to the commodity market. Heritage Foods USA is embarking on a new project, No Goat Left Behind, looking to step in and fill this niche by creating a marketplace for these male bucklings. Visit us at www.heritagefoodsusa.com to learn more and to reserve your goat this coming October.